Hey everyone, welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Lindsay. Hello, Lindsay.
Hello.
And it is September, so we have some special co-hosts throughout the month of September. And tonight, or today's, whatever, today's special co-host is Laura from What to Read Next podcast. Welcome back, Laura.
Thank you so much. And you got my name right this time.
I did it. Apparently, Lindsay, you will appreciate this, Lindsay, because Lindsay knows I'm terrible with names. Laura, we've known each other, what, now 5 years?
Yeah.
I've been calling her Lori up until last year.
Yeah. And so she was in my pod. She's like, I'm like, it's totally fine. You have a nickname for me. It is totally okay. So I was surprised. And I was like, wait, she's spelling my name.
I actually wrote notes and highlighted it, Laura, because
she did so good.
I just, in my head, just so you know, though, in conversation, because like I talked to Leah on Friday, I was like, she's like, who's coming on this weekend? And I said, I think Lindsay's in this weekend and Lori from What to Read Next. And she's like, whom? I was like, oh, Laura from What to Read Next.
It is so good. Hi, everyone.
Hi, Laura. Thank you for pitch hitting and stepping in. You know, September is so crazy, but has your September been busy?
Oh, it's been crazy. I had a terrible summer, and then September came, and I was like, everything's great. It's a reset. And it's been like actually putting to action the reckoning and cleaning up all the reckoning that happened this summer into what's going to look like next 4 months. Yeah. And it's just been like nonstop. So,
yeah, September just seems to have hit the ground running. Yeah. Lindsay, though, you're kind of bailing out a little bit, right?
Yeah, so I had like a super crazy summer with work, and it is actually slowing down finally a little bit. So that has been a really nice reprieve, like not working weekends, not working like super long, crazy hours. And that's just like so needed.
Yeah. I do have to say that my summer was skewed because of Laura. Because I made Mike Berger watch all of Vanderpump Rules, and then we watched Below Deck.
Yes, you got yourself a Bravo introduction, and yeah, it is a great education to have.
I'm not sure I'm okay still.
You know, it's like a little toxic. If I tell you, you know what I've been watching lately, so like where are we going? I went down from Vanderpump Rules, which is peak toxic behavior, now to Love After Lockup. So now Prison Pen Pals are kind of like a normal thing to listen to. And let me tell you, if you thought Jax Taylor was so fucked up, wait to watch those people. Then yeah, those couples are even worse than that.
Love After Lockup is on my radar. I've been watching a couple of things. Mike and I got BritBox, and we started watching Mrs. Brown's Boys.
Ooh.
So funny. Because, like many of us, I just needed something joyful and happy.
Yes.
I just needed something outlandish and funny that, you know, last week we had rom-com authors on. Because, to be honest, it's really weird. I'm really picky on rom-coms typically, but I need the ridiculous right now.
Yeah.
Not Megan Quinn ridiculous, but ridiculous. I actually read the new Tessa Bailey this last week. Have you read this one yet? Picture Perfect?
I have it, but I have not. Tessa's like a hit or miss. So tell me if it's actually going to be a hit or is it going to be a miss for you?
I actually think it was pretty good. Now, okay, Lindsay could not read it. She would throw it off the roof because they get a lot of things wrong. Like, it's mid-April and a pro hockey player has a lot of free time to go from Boston to Rhode Island for this family week of games right before playoffs are going to start.
Isn't this a baseball one?
Well, the girl is a D1 on athletic scholarship for softball.
But
he's not the baseball player. She's the softball player. But it's mid-April, D1 sports. Softball is currently in play. And then the brother and the brother's best friend are supposedly trying out to get on. They want to be professional baseball players, so they have been assigned to minor league teams. But for a whole week in April, they're not with their teams, which would be in season at that point. They're instead for a week in Rhode Island. for this family cast. So if you can suspend belief, it's really cute and funny and it reads really fast.
How are the pet names here? Because Miss Tessa loves to give a baby girl or
Yeah,
some
there was a
kind of
lot
pet
of
name.
that. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that is my biggest ick. And she loves it to like Gatorade it like multiple
She's
times.
also, and I mean, I love a good penis. Like, they're great, but
I
she's
don't
a
know, but
little obsessed with them.
she's obsessed with it. But that's
Yeah.
just normal in her social media. Like she talks about it. Like
Yeah.
it's a pretty normal thing. I'm like sometimes you just don't really care.
I
Not,
mean, I don't know. Like, it's a penis. Like, it's not, I don't know. I was in my meeting today and we were talking about books to stock, and I said, just do me a favor and don't stock the Amy Dawes book with baby foreskin. They're like, what? And so I told them, I said, 9 month contract. Did you read this book? Lindsay's like, and they're like,
the
yeah.
worst.
They're like, yeah, but, and the one girl's like, I don't remember that line. And I'm like, the other girl that owns the bookshop, she's like, oh, it's in there. And I thought about it for a good long time. And then I just put it out of my head and finished the book. And I was like, I couldn't let it go. I still can't let it go. And ranch. I did not bring up the ranch at my meeting, but have you read that book yet, Laura?
Yeah,
Don't do it.
I read the reviews and I was like, stay away from them.
Don't do
I
it.
read the reviews when it was a KU or was like early. I was like, stay away from them because that did not look good. Also, the premise, the whole idea of men hiring someone to have a baby, I was like, sorry, is that Handmaid's Tale? Like, why are we making women to be pregnant for your baby? Like, I understand gay couple and stuff like that, but we're a single guy, a single straight guy, I'm like,
It was weird.
no.
It
Do
was
not want
weird.
to have that. Does not look appealing.
Yeah.
Don't understand the meat cute.
I do not understand the reviews. I am still traumatized from this book. Jenny will sometimes send me pictures of ranch cups because apparently I ruin ranch for everyone. I was like, how do you read this and not have the same takeaway? It was very diabolical
I
what
think
she
the fandom, it's unfortunately it's a
did.
fandom on TikTok and BookTok, and a lot of these
Yeah.
authors have like a strong fandom of people who are like, you're dead to me if you don't like my favorite book. And I'm like, I don't understand this fandom. It's a little toxic.
Yeah.
Find something else. Find a little hobby over there. But,
It's like chocolate. We don't all like the same flavors of chocolate or candy. Like some people prefer sour to like.
I don't like chocolate. I like vanilla, and it is okay.
I like vanilla ice cream too.
Exactly. Same way with books.
I have to laugh. It's because I was gonna be like, yeah, it's like coffee. But then I ran across this, like, she's a mommy blogger and she does a really nice job. But she gave up coffee and she just started drinking decaf because she misses the flavor. And I'm really sorry. I like coffee and I like a really good cup of coffee and I'm a bit of a coffee snob. But to be honest, if it didn't have the caffeine level that it has in it, I don't know that I would love it as much as I do.
Oh, I have the coffee gene, so my coffee, it doesn't really affect me. I only drink Puerto Rican coffee. Literally, I come with 12 pounds of coffee in my house because
Yeah.
they're actually do, but I actually don't, it doesn't do, I can drink Celsius, I can drink any, like I can drink the, you remember the Panera one, this the electrify lemonades that were like, they
Yes.
almost kill people. I drink like five of them and I was fine.
Oh my
I came out alive. I was like, wait, people were dying for this? I was like, just drinking them. I have the coffee gene, so I'm like, it doesn't really matter.
That or you have undiagnosed ADHD and the caffeine just helped calm you down.
No, I actually have anxiety, or as my therapist
Oh.
calls, type 2 ADHD, which is like type 2 diabetes, the same idea
Oh
for
my.
ADHD, short attention span. But yeah, I actually
It just
don't
doesn't
like.
affect you.
Doesn't affect me. I was born that way, maybe because I'm from Puerto Rico and we
Maybe.
just love coffee.
I'm always obsessed with Puerto Rican coffee. The one where they take like the brown sugar and they whip it with the coffee from the
Yes.
moka pot and
My
like
mom does
make.
it too. My mom does it for my stepdad. It's also Cuban and stuff like that. It's like they just do
Yeah.
like a little sugar, like little thing, and little like it's a little shot of espresso and stuff like that. When my stepdad comes to visit me and he goes, he's like, I want a little piece of coffee. He's like, it's basically a shot of espresso, and they'll bring him like a he Americans watered down coffee, and he's like, no, I want a shot, like a little tiny shot of espresso. Like that's what I drink. I don't drink the watered down, cup of coffee. He's still horrified that I drink iced coffee. He's like,
Yeah.
what the fuck is that? Sorry, I curse.
Oh, it doesn't
But
matter.
it like he does not understand it. So it's like shot of espresso. Like you just take a shot.
I mean, I like 4 shots of espresso in my coffee, iced coffee in the morning,
Yeah.
so fair. Fair, fair. Lindsay likes coffee, don't you, Lindsay?
I'm obsessed. So I have a revenge coffee blog called on Instagram called Coffee Bar Crawl. My favorite coffee shop when I first moved to New Mexico, did me real dirty, real dirty. It's a whole thing. So I've not gone back since, and I've tried every single coffee shop that pops up since. And I like feature them on my Insta, my this like special Instagram, and like, yeah, wherever I go, I'm always looking for like really good coffee shops. I'm super judgy. I'm very much preferential to like minimal milk to coffee ratio. So like an 8 ounce coffee where it's like 2 ounces of espresso plus, like milk. Yeah, I'm very picky. I really love cold foam cold brew. Haven't met a coffee I don't like unless it's like too sugary or too much milk.
This.
That's so funny. But coffee is not on our agenda, and stupid books are not on our agenda tonight.
No.
Tonight, I actually had Lori join us because so Lori has a really great book blog and a really exceptional Substack plus her podcast where she will kind of break down genres, talk about genres that no one else is really talking about, and give you like exceptional reading lists. And you kind of sometimes feature the obscure. People don't really realize that this kind of subgenre of a subgenre is out there. So today we're mixing two of our favorite genres for a fun little twist. We're doing the mystery rom-coms. These are stories that bring you banter, swoons, and all the joy of a rom-com, but with a little intrigue, some puzzles to solve, and maybe even a body or two along the way. To help us break it down, Laura's gonna step in and kind of help us talk about these, find some of these sort of hybrid between two genres, and I'm sure we'll get off track. But I am curious first before we start your thoughts a little bit because for the first time in a really long time, we are seeing thrillers overtaking romance. Why do you
It
think
is
that is?
happening. Frieda McFadden.
Freedom
Hate
McFadden.
to see, I hate to say it, but Frieda, our favorite brain surgeon, decided to start doing bingeable popcorn thrillers. And it just like now this is a whole vertical that has been created. Book Auteur is a pretty the big publisher for them. They're on KU. That's a British publisher. They're actually They have source books being fed in them
Hachette.
here and
They're
stuff.
part of Hachette.
They're part of Hachette.
They're part of Hachette.
Well, there we go. No, source books is American. Book Couture is actually in UK.
Well, yeah, but I actually met with Book Couture, their main editor, this week. It was so cool.
Yeah.
She's so delightful. They are now owned fully by Hachette and Grand Central here in the
Well, this
US.
is amazing.
So
So
Frida will
hopefully
be.
Frida's moving to Hachette, which I love to see that for her.
Yeah.
So honestly, with The Housemaid became like a household name, then there came like a lot of Amazon is also printing a lot of these books. Thomas and Mercer is another publisher within Amazon, and they're putting these thrillers. They're bingeable. They're easy. They're considered popcorn thrillers. They're just kind of like bingeable things. We saw a trend from authors, traditionally romance authors, indie authors, moving towards that space for a while. A.R. Tor, which is Alessandra Tor, is actually a big name in the Thomas Mercer. We see like Mia Sheridan doing some romance and suspense and doing more of the thriller space. So we're starting to see some of those traditional publish. Like, what do you think traditionally, romance authors like they're Vy Keeland, Serena Bowen doing traditional deals with thrillers, and so. There's the market is there, and then as we saw the market for rom-coms, people are starting to move towards the cozy, like what do you consider cozy mystery, but they're not really cozy. They're more because they're more millennial. We're seeing with the rise of Elle Finley Donovan's Elle Cosimino, Jessie Q Sustanto. Now that market, which is the one I want to talk about, which is the mystery rom-com, it's kind of like this hybrids. So there's not the thrillers, the domestic suspense, the psychological thriller, but more like the funny and the Agatha Christie kind of world.
Well, and Leah had the opportunity, and I got to read the book, but Leah had the opportunity to interview Cynthia St. Aubyn's. And so she's kind of in that rom-com mystery crossover. It's really interesting, the idea of this. So let's kind of backtrack a little bit. It is going to be like romantic suspense. Kind of help me define, because I
It's
went
not.
through and I've read a few, but then I have questions for you if you think they kind of qualify.
No, so the way I see romantic suspense, Katherine Cowles and Nora Roberts, they're more like what their genre partners in the thriller space are the domestic suspense or the psychological thrillers. So in that space, they're more in that there might be some gory, there might be procedurals, they might have like some crime detective, they might have something to do. These books are more in the cozy, similar to cozies, where there's a murder, there's something happening, it drives the story, but it's not the main plot line. There's no gory about this. We're not going to see the dead person and how they got killed. And like serial killers is probably kind of like the part of the fun with it. But there's all these other aspects that we normally see in cozy mysteries, where it's like the town, the people, the professions, like the things, the kids, the thing that makes them much more engaging. So we get, it's less gory, less that, it's more in the mystery place than the thriller.
Yeah. So do we think that this is kind of a modernization a little bit of Stephanie Plum and Janet Ivanovich? Which I think most romance readers that are older, like me, have read those.
It's the Joanne Flukes. It's the ones that like it's a bit like a bit of that, Hannah Swanson, the Stephanie Plum, like the little bit of like that space where there's a little bit of rom-com, there's like a love story, but it's not central. There's a little bit of different elements. It's more like a woman's fiction with murder of
Yeah.
some sort.
So do these books, so we're calling them rom-coms, so we're classifying them as romances, romantic comedies. Are these going to have like HFNs, HEAs? How
They have HFN, they have HAA. A lot of them are starting series starters. So the first book, we tend to meet the couple, we get the meet cute, we start to see the developing the relationship, but it might be slow burn. It might just be like waiting around. Panama Afton, which is the Paris Hilton one. Panama Afton takes a killer, takes a murder. That one we get to meet the relationship. They start solving a murder together. They're co-sleuthing together. And then we see them like actually like the relationship just keep going as the series going.
Lindsay, didn't Penny Reed do kind of a murder mystery rom-com with one of her Winston brothers?
Yeah, she does. So like in her Winston Brothers, there's like different mystery elements included. And some I would say like some are romantic suspense elements, but she has an offshoot for Cletus and Jen that's her Solving for Pi series, and it'll be eventually four books that correspond with some mystery element along with like some relationship milestone. So I think it's like when they move in together, when they get married, when they get engaged, and then when they have kids. So I think that's like kind of how she's kind of oriented it. So I thought that was kind of a cute idea.
Yeah.
That is. Have you?
Lucy Score also has like a couple of cozies too.
Does
Lucy,
she?
she does. Is it Riley Thorne? I think, and her
Oh.
sister is also started as a cozy and does like the rom-com space, but it's this very like cozy stuff. So
So is
there are elements.
Madison.
So yeah, so there it's a pretty like it makes sense if you need an external driving plot to drive, like why don't just have a murder of some sort,
Yeah.
you know?
So, have you read the Blonde Identity series by Allie Carter? I'm really obsessed with this, and people aren't talking about it, and I
Those are
don't
spy
understand.
rom-coms. Those are like a little bit more, they're not fully mystery. They're like spies. They're like the CIA, kind
Yeah.
of like a fun action. I call them the action rom-coms. They're kind of like if you like an action movie and you want this like big stuff, but you want a little bit of romance and you want a little spice, those are kind of like that's the merge between Lethal Weapon and some other rom-com of the 90s, like kind of like the
They're
merges.
so funny, though.
Yes.
They're like laugh out loud funny. It kind of gave me the vibe. So, as I was sitting here, because I've been watching The Rainmaker, which is a John Grisham remake over on Peacock, like it's a book from the 90s that they've turned into a TV series. And I was kind of thinking about that, and I was like, so these kind of are going to fall into that. Do you remember like Burn List that was on the USA Network? And there was the like white collar psych. What's the one that
Monk.
Piper?
Monk is another one. The Monk, and then there was another one.
Piper, is it Pueblo? She was. It was Covert Affairs. Covert Affairs.
Alias is another one, although that's not,
Yeah. So
yeah.
would these books be comps for those? If you liked those shows, these are going to kind of be in your
I
wheelhouse.
think yes. I think if you like psych, if you like psych, if you like Monk and those kind of like fun procedurals and stuff, because you get the idea of the amateur sleuth. The amateur sleuth, the first book tends to be like, I have no idea what I'm doing, and I finally solve a murder. And then as they go into series D, they're like actually know how they're doing their job and they're getting better at it and they're being trusted. And so we see that evolution similar to what you'll see in a TV series where you're like, you see installments of the murder and it doesn't get old. Like even if you have the same death happening twice, it's still like the author may put a spin on it that makes it much more
Yeah.
interesting.
So what would you say the reader experience? Are the readers coming for the mystery and staying for the romance, or are they coming for the romance, staying for the mystery? What is the reader experience in these that you think has them engaging and
I
staying
think
in
it
it?
just comes from two different audiences and it converges because
Okay.
you get the romance readers who have no idea what the murder is. I was a romance reader for a long time and I discovered this genre as a romance reader and I was like, oh, this is much more interesting. And now I'm like mostly mystery reader, mostly all types of mystery, not just cozy mystery, a little bit thrillers, a little bit here. But I found that that's actually a new genre to discover. Well, the mystery reader is like, wait, there's like this fun relationship rom-com, there's an HEA. Like there's it gets solved in a satisfying ending and they may come back to the romance. So it's a pretty good bridge
Yeah.
from the two popular genres to like cross promote to each other.
Yeah. Lindsay, what do you think of this idea of the mystery rom-com? Are you in?
I am. I really like the idea. So like the way I kind of differentiate it is like the characters are actively solving a mystery, like they're actively trying to figure out a problem. So there's like clue building and like you get their insights into it, whereas like a romantic suspense, you don't get that at all. You get like you are building clues, like you're trying to figure out what's happening, but it's happening to them. And sometimes in like the mystery, it can be happening to them as well, but they're actively engaging with it, trying to figure out like what's happening and like who is responsible. So yes, very into it. I really just like problem solving in general, and that's a really fun way of like bringing that into romance. And then it also covers like one of the things that Laura mentioned was like it's a really nice way of adding conflict without having like relationship conflict between the female main character and the male main character. And I like that a lot because like we get in romance a lot now where like they're not really on the rocks ever. Like they just build a solid relationship and it gets stronger, but there's not really like any trials for them to overcome. But when you add in like that suspense element, it makes it more interesting. And like you can do that and make it a little more engaging, I think.
Okay, so Laura, have you read Ruthie Knox and Annie Marr's their Prairie Nightingale series?
No, I read their TV detective series. That's an MLM. I know I need to read the MLM one because I am obsessed with MLM. So obsessed. And that's my go-to white collar crime. But I read their TV detective and I got the arc for the second one because I don't ask, but Kensington has blessed me with auto approval
Yes.
gods because they were like, they actually, no, I'll tell you the story. Kenzie, I actually did accidentally a cozy mystery episodes in 2020. Had no idea about the genre, had no place. Someone came in and talked about it. Kensington heard the episode and they were like, oh my gosh, you're talking about cozy mysteries. This is 2020 where things were happening. And I was like, sure, come to the show. And they had the patience to talk about cozy mystery, explain it to me. And you're like, we'll give you auto approval. And I was like, okay, I never took advantage of it because I was not reading cozy until like 3 years later. I was like, I emailed Larissa, who is the cozy queen. I was like, Larissa, I'm reading cozies. Now help me, where'd you go? And she has blessed me with like basically a guidance of like, you want St. Patrick's Day cozies, you want like Halloween cozies, you want this one. And then I just read about hundreds of those. And so the TV Detective one is a more, it's not a cozy, it's actually set in Hollywood. It
Yeah.
is TV detectives who are just like solving a murder as well as trying to figure out the relationship as we go.
We are huge Ruthie Knox and Annie Marr fans here at Buzzing, because I stumbled across them in their rom-com as Mae Marvel, Everyone I Kissed Since You Got Famous, and then their second book in their that series was kind of like spy versus spy, Mrs. Smith and Mrs. Smith. So like Mr. and Mrs. Smith meet Sapphic, and it's if I told you I'd have to kiss you, and I'm just still like I love them so much. Anyway, I have an arc of book two of the Prairie Nightingale cozy mysteries they lovingly sent us. But I think you would like it. So, kind of
I
cozy
know.
mystery, but make it sapphic.
Yes, I am actually excited for the first one, which is I think is home something,
The Homemaker.
Homemaker. And I recommend it as one of my TBR for the, I have an NTMLM listicle because there's actually quite a few books about NTMLMs there. And there's a couple of mysteries actually. There's Death on the Downline, there's It's Elementary.
Oh my
So we get to see
gosh.
that. And I was like, oh, I have, this is on my TBR of like books that I need to consume. So I'm
Yeah.
excited to try that series. But I love their TV Detective. They did a great job. So I'm like
Yeah,
excited for
big name
more.
fan that they did. That was so good. So good. Do you have any questions, Lindsay, for Laura?
I don't. I've really been enjoying your insights though. Like, I didn't know what to expect today. Like, I don't usually come on for
Oh no,
the
we're
interview.
so unprepared. This is Laura's show tonight.
And I've just really enjoyed this. I'm just like not sitting here like nodding. Yay, like, yeah, that's a really good insight. I really enjoy this take. So
So,
this has just been really fun for me.
I'm happy to give you guys recommendations based on the different types of feelings because I feel like it's like we can talk about the genre, but let's talk about the actual
Yeah,
books that
let's
came
talk
through.
books.
So let me pull it in. But the first one, if you like Finley Donovan, which is what's, I think that's what sparked this series up. Like Finley Donovan is basically a single mom. She's getting divorced. She's an author and she accidentally gets murder for hire at a Panera. And they're like, they thought she was talking to her agent about her book. And they basically said, and the person was like, hey, I think you can kill my husband. And somehow the person dies and she's like, what is going on? So how to solve the murder. And they're fun. The hijinks are funny. They're great. The books are now on KU, which is exciting. I'm just pulling my recommendations. So that's if you like Finley Donovan, there's a new book coming out. It's a Primrose Murder Society. So that one is actually a similar idea. It was down her luck single mom. She is her husband fled the country because he defrauded, he had a Ponzi scheme. And so she has to go back to her mother's husband's grandmother's apartment that has hoarded so much crap. And this building is actually for 50s or older, like a family, like basically like an older stuff. Her, she has a young daughter and she has, there's, she's not happy about the changes. And so it comes out, but it's perfect for that Finley Donovan feeling and the Gilmore Girls, like feel like the mother-daughter banter. The Primrose Murder Society is a pretty good one, even though it seems like I thought it was British, but it's set in Virginia. So,
Okay. And I will ask Laura for her list of books, and I will link it on our website also so everybody has those. I didn't realize the Finley Donovan books have six currently in that
we do.
series.
And they just keep pumping it up. So, the other book that's popular that I think it sparked was Dalle Franti's. Jessica Sutanta has been writing a lot of like, this is the book, the breakup book for her. And she ended up writing Vera Wang. And she has a new one and like another cozy sleuth mystery. But Dalle Franti's is basically her, this is a young single lady who auntie set her up with a guy and the guy dies and she brings him up to the beach. And there's kind of like Weekend at Bernie's at a wedding, and aunties have like a whole business situation. And so there's three books in the series from the Dial for aunties, but they're fun. But the first one is like Weekend at Bernie's, which
Those covers too. The covers on those books are so cute.
yeah. And then Vera Wang is Gray too, which is an old elderly sleuth set in San Francisco. She's very lonely and she wants to have a family, and Vera is very pushy about it. So the first book, she solves a mystery in her store as a cozy sleuth. And the second one, she solves an influencer mystery and she becomes an influencer herself, which is very fun. She's Vera Wang. Not she thinks she, they think she's Vera Wang, but she's Vera Wong. And so it's kind of like fun, but has to found family stuff. Bellamy Rose, who also writes as Amanda Elliott, in rom-coms, she has the Pomona Afton series. There's two books in the series, and this one, think about Paris Hilton as an amateur sleuth. So the first one, they're both set in New York City. They're both set in Upper East Side. The Pomona Aftons, her grandmother dies, and she gets disinherited, and she has to solve the matter so she can get her inheritance back.
Fun. Okay,
Yeah.
so real quick, have you read Love in the Time of Serial Killers by Alicia Thompson?
I have, and
Thoughts?
it's a cute one. It's like a serial killer specific thing.
Because so there's a lot of serial killer romances that are one-offs. Like we've got Butcher and Blackbird, we've got Lights Out. Are these kind of not these or
To be honest, Butcher
I hated Butcher and
there's one that
Blackbird.
has, I think Butcher and Blackbird has like a long laundry list of content warnings. There's one that has a lot of content warnings. Like lights, I think Butcher and the Blackbird is the one that you don't want to drink like the blood or something like that, or
Yeah.
the ice cream.
Well, it's kind of like Hannibal type thing.
Yeah, and they could, but I don't know if I haven't read it
You
because
don't
I'm
need to
like,
read it.
these books don't have content warnings. If I tell
Okay.
like they have no trigger warnings. They're just kind of like you don't even see the murder.
So these are going to be the rom-com, the mystery rom-com is going to be softer, cozier,
Yes.
no dark, no moments.
No dismember, no cannibalism, like none of that stuff. It's more like somebody kill, and like you don't even care about who kills someone, like who is the killer. It's a non-issue. Like you're not trying to figure out the clues. It's just kind of like a fun little thing to do.
Okay. I'm just asking because, like, that was one of my questions as I was kind of going through this and looking because I have read Dial A for Aunties and I loved it. Like,
Yeah.
that series, that book was everything I wanted. I haven't gone back to the series and I need to. But I was trying to go through it. I was like, so wait, are, like some of these, the X Hex by Aaron Sterling,
Those are cozy. They're still the cozy space, but they're more cozy romance.
cozy
So
romance.
this one's are like you like essentially like a mystery reader will pick it up,
Okay.
like as opposed to that. Another one that actually she was a thriller writer. She's a thriller writer. Catherine McKenzie is now writing as Catherine Mack in Eleanor Dash out series, which is basically it's like everyone dies on vacation. Every time I go to vacation, someone dies. And then it's really long titles. So this is an author who is going on book tour, but she got screwed by her partner, her ex-husband, and he basically she tried to kill him because he's getting her royalty. So she tried to kill him in the series. And it's the hijinks of going around and stuff like that. So it's like basically it's a commentary about like being an author, being a, like having your show made and all different things. It's very meta. At the same time, you have this hijinks of like, this old relationship that doesn't work, and she's trying to solve a murder of some sort,
I mean, I'm excited. I'm here for it. So, what else do you have for us?
So the other one, if you like Love Island or dating shows, because we're all ready for Taylor Pe Frankie Paul, I got a couple ones. So the first one is The X on the Beach. Actually, Murder on Sex Island by Jo Firestone. This is like a 6 hour long thing. She is a There's one of the contestants gets murdered in this Love Island show, and they ask her. She is a private investigator on the side. She has a double identity. They ask her to come to the show, pretend to be a get to be a like a like a cast member, and to solve the murder of who killed this guy. And it's kind of like fun, like a rompy stuff. Another one is Alice Chance Reality Paycheck by Cara Liu and Jennifer Young. It's another one reality TV show. They're exes. They're going to a reality TV show they're not supposed to, and somebody dies and they have to figure out who the murderer is. So you get the reality TV, you get the fun contestants stuff, but at the same time you get the murder mystery.
Okay.
And then we have a cozy, which are what are considered queer cozies. They call them cozies, which I love. And this one's a really fun one, is How to Have a Killer Time in DC. This is a travel writer. It's by Sam Lumley. The amateur sleuth is autistic, and he's on assignment, and his mom is like setting him up with someone, and then he's on a plane, he meets the person who gets killed, and it turns out it's the person that he knew somebody. It's a little bit political intrigue because we're in DC. But he gets set up with a couple of guys, but he doesn't even know that he's getting set up. So it's a really slow burn, but really cute romance, and how his editor is like, yes, I want to go hook up with someone. I'm along with solve a murder. And they're like, I don't care about the murder. I just care about your like relationship. And the second installment is going to be, I think it's Seattle. It's another city. So it's like, if you're traveling, gets you to travel, it gets you going into space. And then if you're a true crime fan, I would say The Serial Killer Guides to San Francisco by Michelle Chouinard. That's set in a podcaster, true crime, trying to figure out serial killer. The first book she was trying to figure out, her grandfather was accused of serial killer, and she tried to figure out what was the reason why.
Okay. My TBR is blowing up because I am.
And I have more, but these are just, I figured like you're more attuned to what you're like. If you're a
Yeah.
true crime fan member, there's a couple for those. Like there's a couple with podcasts, reality TV show, dating shows, there's some.
I didn't realize how far my true crime obsession went until recently, the whole Wendy Adelson trial. I legit watched court for 6 days. Like, what is
Yeah.
wrong with me? I
It
mean,
is. I kind of think that's like why it's so popular though, and why it's taking off, is because like it's not a Venn diagram of separation between like true crime and like who likes cozy like love stories. Like Hallmark is, those like channels and those movies are popular for a reason, and I think like the fan base is like the Venn diagram portion is like almost entirely overlap. Like there's very tiny slivers.
Yeah, well, we have Only Murders in the Building, which I know there's a couple shows that are coming out, like, or a couple books are coming out. Only Lovers in the Building, Nettie Gonzalez released one. So we got Only Murders. We have the Thursday Murder Club, which is a popular British cozy. There's a movie. There's Knives Out, which is another one, Leftover Mystery and stuff like that. So if you think you're intimidated by thrillers, and you're like, I don't want to hear gore, I don't like romantic suspense, I would say like if you like rom-coms, you like a little bit of puzzles, a little bit of like Wordle, like a little bit thing, these are better suited. And I would just look at mysteries, or don't intimidate by cozies because they're small town. If you don't like small town, there's a lot of mysteries set in big cities. There's one that's coming out this summer. It's a Below Deck one. It's a yachty. It's I think it's Oliver Marin. It's the second book in the Chef's Knives Out something. He's a chef, but he's actually in a yacht. And there's a murder, and he's like ill-equipped to handle it. With an heiress, and is just perfect. It's perfect for Below Deck. And I'll send you the list so you can have
Of
that.
course, yeah, 'cause I love that. And you just hit it. Like, I love Knives Out. I watched Thursday Murder. What was the show on Netflix that oh my gosh, what's his name? He's the guy from Cheers. He like goes and moves into the old folks' home to help the insurance investigator, see if the necklace was stolen. Crap. It was on Netflix. It was really good. I really liked it.
A Man on the Inside.
A Man on the Inside. And who's the male star?
Ted Danson.
Ted Danson. I wanted to say Dan. Dan is the star. But you know what? It was so funny, and I hope that it gets a second season. And I like all of those. So cozy rom-coms would make sense for me, you know, just because I do have a lot of joy. That Thursday Murder Club, that was so fun.
There's quite a few. For like octogenarians trying to solve a murder, there's quite a few. Like I've been having a lot of fun. I read hundreds of series starters because a lot of them just have multiple books in the series. And I've like basically I just they're great for bedtime stories. If you suffer from traumatic, you know, bedtime nightmares and you want something to soothe you, these are great if you do an audiobook for them because there's no gory, there's no like trigger warnings. Because a lot of times romance, you'll be surprised of the amount of trigger warnings that come and the trauma that come.
Yeah.
These don't have the trauma, like the dumping, like barely have any dumping of trauma about this because you're just solving a murder. And so they're great bedtime stories to fall asleep to.
I know, I think it's great. I'm excited. Okay. Anything else we should know about mystery rom-coms before we go
Just
in?
give it a try. Like, if you just have no idea where to get started, just try one. And if you like it, there's more to come. And if you don't like it, then you just know you don't like it.
I mean,
But
I loved the Stephanie Plum books. I just got to the point where it was like, how many more times can I be Team Ranger or Team?
I'm reading the Hannah Swanson for a project, and I have feelings about the Hannah Swanson.
Oh.
Feelings. Oh, there'll be a paid Substack. So that one you have to join the paid Substack because I
Substack.
have a lot of feelings. But if you like Anna Swanson, I would just suggest reading the Ellie Alexander Bake Shop Mysteries.
Okay.
It's perfect for Gilmore Girls. It's a beautiful Northwestern town, perfect for Gilmore Girl fans. So much fun. It has a little bit of like love triangle, but we know it gets solved fairly early on, and
Okay.
it's just delightful. So.
It's really funny that you bring that up. There used to be a series where a woman becomes, by accident, it was a cozy mystery that by accident she becomes a travel agent for her grandmother's like retirement senior travel agency. And like every time there seems to be a murder. But there was, even years ago, there was one that like all of the series had bird names. Like, you know, the case of the Poppins or whatever. I think that was Mary Andrews, not Mary Kay Andrews, but Mary Andrews or Donna Andrews is who wrote that series.
Can I just interject to say,
Yeah.
like, how stinking cute these covers all
Oh,
are?
they are so cute. And
Like,
the names, the punny names, they're like, she's a gouda, she's a murder, like, murder on Sex Island. I'm like, they're so cute.
Lindsay, how
They're
many books are
gorgeous.
you downloading and borrowing over there?
As many as I can keep up with, but like I really went on this derail with the Ellie Alexander because like
Oh, the
the
Ellie
Murder on the
Alexander is
Mountain.
my. I read 9 of them. I was not reading for about a year. I was only consuming audio, and I went down the Alexander. I read 1 year, which is 9 books in the whole series. Like, there's 20 books, and supposedly it's going to be ending soon. I'm like, I don't want to know this. And they're so cute. And the first two books are in the town. Then you go to a resort, a ski resort. Then you go to a cruise, and it's a whole expenses cruise because she's a cruise director. She's a former chef at a cruise. And her husband is also a cruise, like a chef. And you do all these different trips and those different things, but they're so cute. The town is so
This
fun.
is the
I just
Meet
want to
Your
go
Baker
there.
series.
And yes, and the thing is that Ellie Alexander hosts in Asheville, or in no, where's it? It's not Asheville. It's in Oregon. She hosts a mystery book fest in the town where this book series is set.
Well, I know what I'll be doing for vacation.
Yes,
I
that is a
will.
more I accept, I approved. And if you there's actually she has another series, which is the mystery book series. There's 6 books. It's completed. The audiobooks are available from the library and then Hoopla. And they're also on KU, and they're short. They're like 6 hours long, so they're like quick bites, but they're delightful. And that's a little bit more greedier because there's a threat about a murder, like a bigger murder that happened.
Yeah. Okay, well, Laura, you always tend to blow up my TBR. But I know it's mutual. I know that I'm always like, read
I
this, read
know. As
that.
I'm so glad to be here and talk about my new passion because it's like it's outside of romance, and I was like, I want to talk to people about this series, and I was like finding converts to
Yeah, but I don't think it's so far out of romance. That's the thing. If we really think about it, many of us made that jump from cozy mysteries. You know,
Yeah.
we picked up the Hannah Swansons, the Janet Ivanoviches, and I think it's a natural progression to kind of go back and forth between the two. They have a lot of similar story beats and building blocks of the story, and typically really great characters. You just don't necessarily get all the sexy times, which is okay. Sometimes you don't need the sexy times.
Sometimes you get spicy. I think Panama often has spice. There's a couple that have spice, and other ones they don't. It's pretty close to our. You'll be surprised. Some of them are like more in that space. I think Jenny Elder Mulkey has a couple books. They're actually not following the same couple. And I think it's Murder, She Has Clues. The cover is Clue, and that one has spice. That's more rom-com than mystery, but there's actually a mystery part element
Okay.
of it. So there's, you'll be surprised. Some of them do, but traditionally, did you not have spice? You're not gonna find a Tessa Bailey level of spiciness here,
Which is
and I am
okay.
okay with that.
Which is
That's
okay.
okay though, because like one of the complaints I have a lot is when like romance tries to add in a mystery element
Yeah.
to it, like either the romance will overtake the mystery element, and there's just like huge gaping holes in that plot line on the mystery plot line. And I think, like, for me, I prefer a good, clean, well-written story. And I don't like, I can read stuff that doesn't have spice in it and be completely okay with it as long as it's well-written. And I do think, like, the way mystery progresses is not all that different. Like, I think you mentioned before, like, slow burn elements are usually in them. And I think that's actually an interesting parallel because, like, slow burn romances, like, the romance builds slower, but in the mystery, in like cozy mysteries, like, the story and the plot builds in a very similar way to the relationship dynamic. And it's really just like, what does the story focus on?
Yeah,
Or let's be real.
I think also it's also like the character arc. We're not doing so much internally trying to figure out who you are as a relationship. You know, the relationship beats. We see them there, but they're not fully fleshed out because we're fleshing out the other external conflict that's driving the relationship. Whether the relationship with the cop or relationship with the bake shop mister with her ex-husband. Like, we're seeing the arc of like building that relationship over time because the author has space to write a book a year about this relationship and actually grow with it. Sometimes it's annoying when you have love triangles and we're trying to figure out who to sue. But for the most part, if you don't have a love triangle, you're seeing the relationship built over time. And it's a pretty delightful time.
Yeah. I'm excited to deep dive back into some of these. Like, and the covers are so adorable. And you're right. Some of them are the best titles.
So cute. Like, the minute I was like, the minute I looked up Ellie Alexander, I was like, oh, this is gonna be a problem. Every single one is so cute. And like her, like the one that's a murderer in the mountains, the Meg Reed and
Yes,
Upstate series,
that's a new series.
those are
It's on my
so
queue. I can't
beautiful.
wait. And there's like a ski resort and there's a beach one. I'm like, I am here for it. Oh, it's Asheville. That's Asheville, Oregon. That's where the Bake Shop Mystery said. And you just want to be there, you know.
Oh, I can't wait. Can't wait. This, I'm so excited. Okay. We're gonna do Laura, first of all, thank you for helping our TBRs and kind of talking about this. But now we're gonna go into Book of the Week. Are you ready for this, Laura? Are you ready? Because it's that time. It's that time for Book of the Week. Book of the Week time. Because, you know, we still don't have an echo. But apparently we were told that our listeners would be sad if we actually got a real echo. They prefer me to be like ridiculous, which is fine with our jazz hands. Okay, Laura, what's your book of the week? Do you have a book right now that you're reading that you love or that you think more people need to put their eyes on?
So my other obsession is nonfiction. I'm reading everything but romance at this point. Let's just be honest.
That's
So
fine.
nonfiction, it's working, it's just fun, but I read the TV pop nonfiction. And so I'm listening to I Was Feeling Epic, which is did not watch the series, but it's The Vampire's Oral History. the series. And so it's just the normal history of telling you what's going on, what happened, who got paid, who did not, what the tea and everything. And so it's being my Kevin Williamson education because I just finished reading. I really love the scary movie, which is the oral, not the oral history, but the book about the Scream movie franchise and that he put together. So it's been interesting to be in this Kevin Williamson world. But if you're intimidated by nonfiction, just join my Substack. I'll be bringing you some fun nonfiction recommendations for someone who's like, I can't believe I'm reading nonfiction. And I'm
Yeah.
like, I can tell you about really fun ones to talk about.
There's some really good nonfiction out there, though, that I think people like, to be honest, and it'll go for next week's episode where we're going to talk about Gilded Age. I listened to Anderson Cooper's books, the one that he did on the
Yes.
Vanderbilts and the one he did on the Astors. Super intriguing.
Yes.
Like, it's messy.
And you know what? Sometimes it's much more messier than fiction. And you're like,
Yeah.
did this really happen? You're like, oh yes, it did. That's where it came from. Like a lot of the messy. I love gossip. I was just recording another episode, rather than a podcast, it was all about gossip. And I was like, I grew up in Puerto Rico where gossip is kind of like our storytelling. This is how we communicate. This is how we talk about things. It's just normal. And so I love reading nonfiction about like hearing the tea and like whatever gossip was going on,
I
you
love good
know.
gossip. Yeah. What was the title of your book again?
I was feeling epic. I think it's Oral History of the Vampire Diaries.
Okay. Lindsay, what is your book of the week?
So remember at the beginning of summer where I recommended the Harm or I put Harmony Noble and her Wilderness Rescue novellas on my TBR for summer, and we did like the sapphic romance
Yeah.
episode, and I was like, eventually, like this was gonna be my summer reading. Well, no, now it's like my when I have a free chance reading. But I started reading them, and I got to Tides of Love, which is so cute. It's a surfer who like goes out on the Alaskan coast, and like she's on this big adventure to surf the Alaskan coast, and she gets like ripped out in a rip tide, and then her love interest like rescues her and like is like, what the hell were you doing? Like, you know nothing about Alaska. Why were you out here doing this? And then of course they fall in love, and it's just very cute, and it's like very different because it just like it's two sisters who write these stories together, and it incorporate like I think they work in a coffee shop, and they incorporate like real people they meet into their stories. So like they just have they're so fresh, they're so good, they're such small bites of reading, and I would call them like palate cleansers, but like way better than like what you would typically seek out. They're like 100 pages.
Nice.
I was really excited for these. They're so much better than I thought they would be. I am probably going to read all of what they've read now.
Okay.
I am adding this to my TBR because you know what? Novellas are working for me. Any short content is
Yeah.
what's working. Just that's really, I don't need to spend 800 pages about a relationship. I need like a little bit more substance. So 100 pages or like 150 pages is the perfect amount for romance
So
right now.
today over on Threads, there was a literary agent that was like, who gave you the idea that 50,000 words is an actual novel? That's category. If you're querying, you should have 150,000 words. And the thing is, and I think that this is something indie authors are actually finding right now because of our attention spans, because of everything happening, the scrolling kind of thing. Shorter 50,000 to 60,000 word novels are what are selling right now.
Well, don't tell into some of those long people who had done those really tome breaker books. They're like, oh, this is what's selling. I'm like, I don't want to watch paint dry. Like, I
Yeah.
have a couple authors that I'm helping in my own mama editor kind of way, and they're marketing the short 20,000 words, you know, novellas, and they're killing it
Yeah.
from the start because you know what? Once you can produce more, which satiates a reader, and also it gives the reader the taste that they need. They feel accomplished. They get the gold star. They finish the book, and then they move on to the
Yeah.
next one, and then they move on to the next one. And you can have a little bit more fun. You can try different genres. You can try different phases, and it gives you flexibility. And so I would say short is working. At least for me, it's
No,
working.
it's working for me too. So my book of the week is People Watching by Hannah Bonham Young. I really like Hannah's books. I fell in love with it out on a limb. There are some heavier topics. Prue, our heroine, Her mother has Alzheimer's, so they're dealing with that diagnosis. The hero Milo has a super complicated, messy family history. But the care, the love that she gives her characters, like, I really think Hannah is writing some of the most complex characters in contemporary romance without giving us 700 pages. So I really like her stories. What?
We appreciate a non-700 page book about one couple.
Yeah.
I see you, many, many authors that are real popular. We're popular. Maybe, you know, maybe we'll like something else.
She just, it's, there was good heat, but it was so much heart and love. And it was exactly what I needed this week as I've juggled like 17 books. Laura, tell everyone where they can find you.
So the podcast is available on Spotify and Apple and sometimes on YouTube. There's 800 episodes. There's a lot of episodes. Typically, I'm releasing about 3 episodes a week. Sometimes I republish old episodes with the new intro and new things. And I have a Substack, but you can just go to whatyournextblog.com. It has listicles with different episodes and different recommendations. I've interviewed pretty much most of the popular authors. And if they have not, they might be coming on the show. So there's 500 interviews. I'm not kidding. I'm not exaggerating. There's 500 interviews with the Elsie Silvers, Elias Sage, I think Hannah was an Instagram Live that I lost. So maybe I'll bring her on the show. But like a lot of these authors have been on the show. So
yeah. Excellent. Quick Patreon shout out. Thank you to all of our amazing Patreon community. Your support keeps the podcast running and lets us bring you even more bonus content. We have reading guides, exclusive Discords, all that kind of fun stuff. If you're not a member yet, you can check out our one tier over on Patreon. We'd love to have you as part of our bookish crew. I forgot to gather the content is who has anniversaries in September, so I'll do that next week. You know, today was a day. So that's a wrap for this episode. Huge thank you, Laura, for coming on and hanging out with us tonight.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for indulging me on this.
Oh, I'm so excited. It was so fun to geek out over these, you know, kind of quirky, cozy, swoony little mysteries. I'm super excited to add to everyone's TBR. So, and Linz, thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah, it was a blast. Thanks for all the recs.
Lindsay's like, my TBR will not be the same.
Just with the Big Shot Mystery, you're going to be like, what am I reading? And then I cannot get out of this train. And it's a great train to be.
If you have a favorite mystery rom-com or cozy mystery, please feel free to email us to the bees at bookcaseandcoffee.com. We would love to have your suggestions. Don't forget to check out Laura's podcast and her Substack for more bookish conversations. Until next time, everyone, happy reading.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.